Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Choke Points: How Economic Warfare is Changing the World is a nonfiction work of geopolitical analysis by Edward Fishman, a former U.S. sanctions official and scholar of international relations. The book examines how economic warfare, rather than conventional military force, has become one of the central instruments of state power in the 21st century. Its focus is on choke points, critical nodes in finance, technology, energy, and trade that give countries outsized leverage over rivals. Fishman uses a chronological, policy-driven narrative to show how the United States and its allies built sanctions and export controls into a sophisticated strategic toolkit after 9/11, then expanded and tested that toolkit against Iran, Russia, and China. The book is both an account of modern statecraft and a warning about the limits of interdependence in an era of great power competition. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how choke points turn economic dependence into strategic leverage. The book's core idea is that modern power often rests not on territory or armies, but on control over indispensable nodes in the global economy. Fishman defines choke points as places where a small number of states or firms dominate a market, substitutes are hard to find, and the controlling side can impose pressure with limited self-harm. This framework helps explain why the US dollar, advanced semiconductors, maritime insurance, and other infrastructure-like systems matter so much in geopolitics. A choke point is powerful because it exploits asymmetry. One side can disrupt access, while the target faces immediate pain and few short-term alternatives.
That makes economic statecraft more than a metaphor for pressure. It becomes a practical theory of coercion.
The book uses this lens to connect seemingly separate policy tools, such as sanctions, export controls, and investment restrictions into one coherent strategy for exercising influence without direct military conflict. Secondly, the post-9/11 expansion of sanctions into a modern weapon system. Fishman traces how the United States transformed economic sanctions from a relatively narrow diplomatic instrument into a central feature of national security policy after 9/11. The book shows that financial regulators, lawyers, intelligence officials, and sanctions specialists built much of this capability inside government, often working behind the scenes and outside public attention. Their innovation was not simply to punish states already in conflict with the United States, but to use the architecture of the global financial system itself as a source of coercive power. This matters because it reframes sanctions as infrastructure-based warfare rather than symbolic condemnation. The book also suggests that the U.S. advantage came from its embeddedness in global finance and technology, especially where private firms and allied governments depended on American-led systems. By following the people who created these tools, Fishman reveals how bureaucratic expertise became a form of strategic power and how economic warfare evolved through trial, error, and political urgency. Thirdly, Iran as the proving ground for coordinated financial coercion. One of the book's major case studies is the long campaign against Iran, especially around its nuclear program. Fishman presents Iran as a testing ground for how sanctions could be escalated, refined, and combined with allied coordination to produce real negotiating pressure. The value of this case lies in showing that economic warfare works best when it is not just unilateral punishment, but a layered strategy that targets financial access, energy revenues, trade, and elite networks at once. The book uses the Iran example to demonstrate both the strengths and limits of coercive economics. On the one hand, the sanction system helped isolate Iran and constrain its options. On the other, the episode shows that pressure campaigns can have unintended consequences, including humanitarian costs, political backlash, and incentives for the target to seek alternative channels. Fishman treats the Iran case as evidence that economic warfare can change state behavior, but only when policymakers understand the target's vulnerabilities, the structure of global markets, and the risks of escalation. Fourthly, Russia and China show why economic warfare can produce countermeasures. Fishman extends the analysis to Russia and China to show that economic warfare is no longer a one-way U.S. advantage. After Crimea, and especially after the 2022 invasion of Ukraine, sanctions against Russia became broader and more systematic, targeting finance, reserves, energy exports, and technology access. At the same time, the U.S.-China rivalry over semiconductors and rare earths demonstrates that economic pressure can become part of long-term structural competition, not just crisis response. The book emphasizes that the more often choke points are used, the more determined adversaries become to build alternatives. That includes payment systems outside dollar channels, domestic technology production, parallel supply chains, and cooperative blocks that reduce exposure to Western leverage. Fishman's argument is not that sanctions fail, but that success can be self-defeating if it accelerates fragmentation and encourages rival powers to insulate themselves. This makes economic warfare a dynamic competition between leverage and resilience rather than a static set of tools. Lastly, the impossible trinity why globalization, security, and rivalry no longer fit together. A major strategic conclusion in the book is Fishman's impossible trinity states cannot simultaneously preserve deep economic interdependence, maximize economic security, and engage in open geopolitical rivalry. This is one of the book's most important analytical contributions because it explains why the era of frictionless globalization is giving way to a more fragmented order. If countries want the benefits of interdependence, they must accept vulnerability. If they want security, they must reduce dependence and accept lower efficiency. If they want to compete aggressively with major powers, they will almost certainly damage the openness that made global trade and finance so productive. Fishman uses this dilemma to interpret current debates about decoupling, de-risking, and strategic autonomy. The book does not claim that globalization is simply ending, but it argues that its political foundations have changed permanently. Economic warfare has made supply chains, financial networks, and technology systems into arenas of conflict, forcing governments and companies to think in terms of resilience, redundancy, and strategic exposure. In conclusion, Choke Points is best suited for readers who want to understand contemporary geopolitics through the mechanics of finance, trade, and technology rather than through military history alone. Policymakers, business leaders, investors, and students of international relations will all find value in its clear explanation of how sanctions and export controls work, why they sometimes succeed, and why they can also provoke adaptation. The book is especially useful for readers trying to make sense of U.S. policy toward Russia, China, and Iran because it connects current events to a larger structure of economic power. What distinguishes it from many books on sanctions or globalization is its combination of insider credibility, narrative clarity, and broad strategic framing. Fishman does not treat economic warfare as a niche policy area. He shows it as a defining feature of the present international order. That makes the book useful both as a practical guide to statecraft and as an interpretation of why the world economy is becoming more fragmented and politically contested. If you would like to support Edward Fishman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.